Well, good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to church this Lord's Day evening. We're going to join our hearts and join our voices in a short time of praise, and we're going to stand and sing to God's glory a more modern piece, a more modern hymn, to his praise and glory, the splendour of the King, and it will come up on the screens in just a moment, God willing. We have sung this one recently together, so let's stand and use it as our opening hymn of praise this evening. We have a glorious and a great God, and let's draw breath and sing out this hymn as it truly deserves. Standing to sing. From the time of the signing of the Ulster Covenant. And that covenant had a great religious significance in its time, not just a political one. And it's that sense of God and his covenant that we want to pick up on tonight and use as a theme for our praise. There's something that's particular and something that's special about a covenant, and it's this. You and I may sign a covenant. You and I may even be the beneficiaries of a covenant, but we do not write its terms. The terms of a covenant are presented to us. We take them, we accept them, we sign them, we benefit from them as they are prepared and set before us. That's a covenant. We then enter into that covenant, but someone else has formed it and invites us to enter into it. And so it is with our God and his covenant of grace. His grace. His grace alone by which we are saved. His Son alone and his work in Calvary by which we are saved. That's the covenant of God's grace. That's the covenant of God's salvation. That's the enduring promise for his people. And that's what we sing about. That's what we put our faith upon. And that's what we want to worship and praise him for this evening. Let's sing a hymn, 428, in the Mission Praise. If you have the book and want to use it, again on the screens. Tonight we'll just sing verses 1 and 2 and the last verse. verse 1, verse 2, and the last verse of 4 to 8, which is a hymn of remembrance and a hymn of thanksgiving to our God, because he is the one who keeps us and guides us. Verse 1 reminds us of that. Verse 2 reminds us of his word. And verse 5, the last verse, puts the focus on ourselves, that he would indeed remake us in his power. So 1 and 2 and 5 of this great hymn as we continue to praise God. 4 to 8. Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but holy trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. We're going to sing tonight verse 1 and verse 3, which again uses that word covenant. His vow, his covenant and blood are my defence against the flood. Verses 1 and 3 of this great hymn. Wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, and that's true for us all, he claimed me for his own. But then we have the words of the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, because his covenant he will keep. He is the all-powerful, all-saving God. Let's sing verses 1 and 2 tonight. Verses 1 and 2 of 279. 23, another great hymn of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. These are hymns of the gospel. They're also hymns of personal testimony because we are saved through our faith in his grace. And that's the confidence that we sing about and we preach about. These are great hymns, hymns of faith and hymns of salvation, hymns of the gospel, hymns of personal testimony. One from Isaac Watts, great hymn writer, 323. We'll sing verse 1, and I think we're using the tune that attaches the chorus. Thank you. So verse 1, and we'll also sing tonight verse 3. Firm as his throne, his promise stands. Verses 1 and 3, 323. We've just sung one from Isaac Watts. Let's sing one from Philip Doddridge, another great congregational hymn writer. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. O happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Sing it from the heart, sing it when we know it's true. And we'll sing tonight just verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Notice there, it's the action of God. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Our grace, our salvation is in God's grace. Verses 1 and 2 of another great hymn of personal testimony. Finish with a short chorus, 254. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, because here in the grace of God I stand. 254, singing it through just the once to finish our time of praise at the start of this evening's service. Thank you.
have an opening hymn, we'll stand and sing. It'll come onto the screen here in a moment or two. Yeah? No? 1127. 1127. When I was lost, you came and rescued me. Reached down into the pit and lifted me, O Lord, such love. I was as far from you as I could be. Again, another. 1227, sorry. 1227, well then that's not in here. Because they just go up as far as 1144.
What's the words?
1072. 1072 in Christ alone. And again, another great hymn that we sing here. And then after this hymn, Andrew Knox is going to come up and open with a word of prayer. All right, thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for another opportunity to worship you this evening, Lord, in this place. And we just pray for every head bowed and every home and family represented, Lord, that you would just Bless us greatly this evening, Father, and as we've come to church tonight, that you would just help us, Lord, to have come with the right mindset, Lord, and the right attitude, with humble hearts, willing to learn something new from you, Lord, and just help us to take in whatever we may hear tonight, Lord. We just thank you for opportunities such as this, just to be able to praise you, Father, and to worship you through song, Lord, through prayer, and Father, just through your word. And Father, we just pray for the testimony this evening that will be given, Lord, that you would just bless the speaker here, Mr. Wilson, and just pray that, Father, just we would all have open hearts, Lord, and to hear what to say, and no matter what would be said, that we would just take it all in, Father, and that we would apply it into our hearts and lives, that we wouldn't just be for this hour, Lord, and just for this time, but Father, that it would be stuff that would change us, Father, that we would go out the door feeling a bit more closer to you, Lord. And Father, we pray for those that can't be with us, who aren't able to be out at church this evening, Lord, and we just pray that you bless them, all of those that are of ill health and are just not able to get out to see him, Lord. And we just pray that as you're amongst us, Lord, that we'd be mindful of that, and we would just take in everything that we can, and Lord, that we would use it as best we can to serve you in whatever way we can, Lord. Just pray for all those that are saved here this evening, Lord, that they will be built up in their faith, and for those that aren't, Lord, that they would be challenged, and challenged to see why they haven't not yet given their lives to you, Father. And just thank you for listening to our songs, our praise, our prayers, Father, and just thank you for being one of our number. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Now, it's lovely to see you here tonight. We try to do something different on the last Sunday of each month. We call it an outreach service, where you can invite others, and there's a cup of tea and a biscuit in the back hall here afterwards, so don't feel that you have to rush home. Just come in for 20 minutes or so, have a cup of tea with us. And we're very glad to welcome tonight. It's not always me that does the speaking on this outreach night. There may be visitors along, but we're glad to have Michael Wilson with us. Michael's going to give his testimony. He was with us during the winter at one of our missionary meetings. He represents a mission work called Release International. He might say something about that, but I gleaned from his report that he has quite a testimony himself, and I thought he would be good to bring to the service and let us hear his full testimony. And so, you're made very welcome, Michael, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord has done and is doing in your life. Now, the announcements for this incoming week, on Tuesday night, the prayer meeting and the Bible study continues as usual. And it's good to see numbers picking up. I'm at that, and that's on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday morning, it's the Good Company meeting of the ladies, and this is the first meeting of that this session, 11 o'clock. And ladies, you're all made very welcome to that. Come in for a cup of tea if you're heading up to the town. You can do that. And Mrs. Wilma Barkley, who's been to the meeting before, coming along to give a short devotional. And 6:30 will be the Kids Club. Friday night, again, a women's Bible study group will be held at the manse, and that's at 7:45. But 7 o'clock here in the church is the men's fellowship. It's not usually the first Friday of the month, but it's this Friday. And again, men, you're invited to that from around 7 o'clock or so. And then next Sunday will be our harvest services, first Sunday of October, and we always look forward to those. It's one of the highlights of our year. Saturday from 12 noon will be the harvest preparation. I'm in the church here, so if you're bringing anything to contribute to the harvest, that'll be taken from about 12 noon or so. And then next Sunday, there'll be no Sunday school. And then our service is 11:30 and 6:30. Pastor Harold Chambers, retired Baptist pastor, will be the speaker at both our services. The choir will sing at both services. Our time of prayer will be at 6:10. There'll also be our time of prayer at 9:00 on Sunday morning here in the back hall, as it is always the first Sunday of each month. So these are all the announcements, and do seek to pray about these activities, seek to attend them, and may the Lord indeed bless us. So we'll now bring our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you for all your blessings and goodness, and thank you for the gospel again that changes lives. And we thank you that lives have been changed today. For Jesus said, I will build my church. I will add to my church. We thank you that we read in the book of Acts that there are those added to the church daily. And so we pray that someone here will be added to the church, will be saved. Bless our brother who ministers to us, O God, tonight. So bless us now, for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing another hymn, and then Michael will come and give his testimony. You're the Word of God, the Father from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by his hand. Number 1141, if you're following the book. Not many people do now because of the screen. So let's stand and sing this great hymn, and then Michael, you come up and do a Bible reading or whatever you want to do.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's so good to be here with you in Ballymena tonight. And just to be able to worship and praise God together. Old and young. I love it when old and young people can come together in a worship group to sing and to lead the praise. It is fantastic. So to you young folks who are along with these old lads and these old dolls here at the front, I want to commend you that you're there. And they may not want to sing all everything that you want to play, but also you may not want to play everything that they want to sing. But before God, we can make a joyful noise to the Lord together. I love going to China. Because in China, you know, when you've got grey hair, it's fantastic. Because even the young people will talk to you. When you get to a supermarket, you're not invisible. Now, those older folks in the church know what it's like when you get to Sainsbury's or in the Tesco's. And you're invisible. They don't even look at you in the eye. Isn't that true? You know about that, don't you? No? Well, maybe it's different in Ballymena. I don't know. But I've come here tonight to share something with you of what God has done. And not only what God has done, but what God is doing. And I trust that tonight that even as you came in through those doors into this meeting place, that God has started to do something in your heart and in your life tonight. Now the good thing is this, that I don't know who amongst you would count yourself as being saved, or whether you would count yourself as one who has said yes to Jesus. By that I mean having given your life to Jesus Christ. Tonight you know where you are. And I'm going to point the finger across the place. Now look at me when I'm pointing, including Raymond. Even who's hiding behind. Roddy, you're hiding behind the flowers. Do you see my finger? Go behind. Even behind the desk down at the back there. Imagine it's not my finger that's pointing at you, but the God of the universe who's pointing into your heart tonight. And into my heart tonight. There's no hiding. There is no hiding. And there's no hiding place here in this church tonight. You know, it's the most... you've been talking to me a number of years ago, the most ludicrous thing would ever have been to suggest that I, Michael Wilson, would ever stand in a place like this. Behind a microphone and in a pulpit. Oh, I have to tell you that I went to Sunday school. Went to the Bible class. Joined the Boys Brigade and loved every moment of it. And the Boys Brigade Bible class and the rest of it. And I was a good wee lad. And at 17, I was gone. Gone out into the world. Not a care, not an interest in any of the stuff that I'd ever learned. And maybe tonight you're one of those, like me, a good wee lad, or a good wee girl, that when you were in the house, you did everything you were told. Or asked. And then you ran away. That's what I did. One of my favourite haunts was Ballymena. Those of you who are old enough to remember the Flamingo Ballroom, where we came on Friday nights. I got a charge of drink on us before we went. Because that was important. And I have to tell you that I had some good times in this time, in one way or another. went off in 1969 to join the Merchant Navy as an engineer. And I loved doing it. I loved travelling. But you know something? I could never shut my eyes to sleep when I was on board that ship. Because I knew that if the ship went down, not only would I go to the bottom of the ocean, but I would go to hell. You see, hell is a place that in these enlightened days that we live in, is a place that's not talked about. It's not, well, we don't talk about it like that these days. But the truth of it is this. If we're not of Christ and we die, we're going to go to hell. And I did not want to go to that place. And I can tell you, in one of the worst storms that I have ever witnessed in my life, off the coast of Madagascar, that's in East Africa, when the ship was being thrown about and tossed about, and we were within that of sinking. And still, I did not cry out to God. I was still afraid, but I did not cry out to God. And it was many, many years after that before I ever bent the knee to Christ. You see, because I was young and I was strong when I played rugby up there in Antrim. I was one of those men who went in for the ball. I was the one who came out with the ball out of the loose scrums and all the rest of it. But when it came to the bit, I was nothing and had nothing. And when things got bad in this country of ours, back in 1970 or thereabouts, you know, with the badness that I'm talking about. For anyone who's listening to this, what I'm speaking about here, if you're wondering what the badness is I'm talking about the years of onslaught against our very nation, or against our very existence. And young men like me all over this province of Northern Ireland, believing that we were under such threat, decided that we would do something about it. And I joined one of those organizations for God and for Ulster. Oh, I thought the name of God is in it, so it must be okay. But I have to tell you that the God, the living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, did intervene in my life. And took me away from any activities that I may this day be ashamed of. And still I walked away. Still I was not one of Christ's. Until one night I was sitting in a bar just outside Temple Patrick where I live. Sitting with my friends on a Friday night as we used to do. And the Salvation Army, you know, came in the door on a Friday night. They were giving out war cries and the rest of it. And one particular Friday night when the big man from North Belfast, when he came in and I just said something to him like, I want to do what you're doing. And he just looked at me. I said, you follow Jesus. I want to do what you're doing. But he wasn't up for the challenge. And he went on ahead to talk to someone else. A few minutes later, I left the room and went out the back. And I met this man again with one of his other colleagues. And I met him and I said, you know, I want to do what you boys are doing. I want to be like you. What do you mean? He says, what are you doing in here? I said, I don't want to be here. I'm here with my friends. Because that's what we do. And he invited me outside, you know. And usually anybody ever invited me outside a pub before was for a wrecking match, for a fisticuff, something, that kind of thing. But he invited me outside. And he said to me, you know, I want to sit in the back seat of the car. And I sat in the back seat of the car. He says, you know, there's a woman from Belfast gave us this car so as we could come out to the countryside to the pubs to tell people like you about Jesus. And I said, I don't believe you. I knew nothing about giving or about such goodness. He says, I'm telling you. And then he began to tell me about Jesus. About the love of Jesus. And the difference it would make in my life. And I'm sitting in the back seat of the car. It still wasn't dark. And I'm looking out through the front screen of the car at the church building not 200 yards away where I'd spent my youth. Going to church every Sunday. In the back seat of that old car, I gave my life to Christ. The tears running down my face as I realized what my sin had done to Jesus. Sent him all the way to the cross at Calvary. And what he had done, not just for me, but for the world. And in an instant, my life was changed. Well, my friends couldn't work it out. They couldn't understand. The guy took me home in their car because I couldn't drive, but I had the wind of drinks in me. And when I got home, my wife was ready for me and for him too. It was as if the devil was there ahead of us telling her. I have no idea how she knew what had happened, but she did. And she gave me a very, very hard time. And for the next 12 years, she did not want to know anything of my God or of my Jesus. And all I knew was that my life had changed, that my sin had gone. She wanted none of it. When our children began to be maybe 3 years of age, my daughter and I began to take her to church with me. And Sundays just after the church meeting used to be very, very interesting. Because that was the day when we had our best row. Not 5 minutes in the door from church, from worshiping God. Now maybe tonight you're sitting here. And your husband or your wife is sitting at home. And you're saying to yourself, don't know what takes you down to that old place for. So you'll learn nothing down there. Nothing good will ever come of that. Or maybe worse. So tonight I'm going to encourage you that you keep on keeping on. Keep on going. Because he who has begun the work in you will bring it to fruition. Going back to that church that I was growing up in. And on the Sunday morning when we were sitting up in the gallery up in the back where the minister couldn't see us, well, we thought that, where we could carry on and do the rest of it. But just a few moments before the service began, you know, there was an old man. He was my great, great, great uncle. So he was definitely was old. And he used to come out through the door like this one here, march up the steps and set the big Bible on the pulpit like this. And you know the two bits that hang down, you know the bits that mark, they had to be the same length, otherwise the service couldn't start. That was meant to be a joke in case, maybe you don't do jokes here in this part of the world. I know you're a bit dour at times. But you see, I had no idea what was going on when the Word of God was brought into the meeting. And the Word of God set on the pulpit like this. Well, mine's a wee bit smaller. Mine's a forgotten Ulster kind of Bible. In case you can't see, it's orange and blue down the back there, those of you. That was made in China, by the way. The Word of God, when the Word of God was brought in and opened, then the meeting was ready to start. I had no idea the importance of the Word of God. Now, the older ones among you will remember in Sunday school learning the Word of God. Verses and verses and chapters and all that kind of stuff. Anybody remember doing that in Sunday school? Anybody remember doing it?
I know, I went to Sunday school.
Nothing else but the Word of God at the middle, at the center. The pulpit in the center of the church. If you go to a church where the pulpit's over to the one side, you just look and watch what's going on in such a church. And where the Word of God is not read and proclaimed, there's men who read two verses, and women these days too, who read two verses and talk for an hour on it with their own ideas, their own opinions. But it's the Word of God that's going to make men and women wise unto salvation. I stood up at Stormont yesterday. Brother Rodney was talking about the covenant celebration yesterday. And I stood up there listening to what was going on from the platform. And if ever there was a call to repentance for this nation of ours, we heard it yesterday. Yesterday wasn't a day of triumph, you know. It wasn't a day of triumph over our enemies. Today was a call back to the Word of God. Back to the things of God. And the seeking of God for our nation. Oh, my heart was just overflowing yesterday when I heard the man crying out to God for this nation of ours. And the good thing that I also heard yesterday, that it wasn't just for the six counties, Northern Ireland. Men were crying out from the pulpit, from the platform yesterday, for this land of ours, the island of Ireland. And that's what's going to make a difference in this land. It's the Word of God. I want to read from the book of Acts. And this is a very, very familiar story. And see, the thing about it was that right up to the time when I became a Christian, there's an awful lot of the scriptures, an awful lot of the Bible that I did know. But yet I had not allowed any of it to shape or to mould my life in any way. And in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV, and I hope that's okay with you. If it's not, please don't fight with me. Because you know there are folks across the nations who have neither King James, NIV, or any other Bible. We'll maybe talk about that in a few minutes' time. Acts chapter 9. And this is just after Stephen has been martyred. Stephen, known to us as the first Christian martyr. When the church has just begun in Jerusalem, Jesus has been taken up to glory. And as it were, all hell has broken loose against those who would be known as those of the way, Christians. And I use that word in its truest sense. And the Christians were scattered all over the place. Chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm it has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who will call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem amongst those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take us as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy amongst the Jews to kill him. It's not typical of when someone comes and brings the news, the good news, "We're not having this around here. I'm not listening to that boy." And they conspired how they were going to kill him. Here was Saul, and Saul was the one, if you remember, who was there when Stephen was being martyred. The men came, they put their coats at his feet. He gave full approval of what they were doing. And here he is with the letters of authorization from the chief priests in his inside pocket on his way down to Damascus, that any that he might find there of the way, that's Christians to you and me, that he might bring them back to Jerusalem. Men, women, children, didn't matter to him. But you know one good thing tonight is this, folks. That the devil always runs ahead of himself. He always oversteps the mark. One step too far. And that's what happened on the road to Damascus. Oh, Saul was ticking. He couldn't take time to get down there. And on the way, Saul. "Why are you persecuting me?" He was on the ground. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus." And you know, that night in the back of that car I was telling you about, when I heard those words, "Jesus. Jesus." You see, I had been wandering at a stage. God I know about. Christmas I know about. Easter I know about. But I couldn't work out what Jesus had to do with my life? No idea. I became confused. And that's where I was at that time when the Salvation Army came. And the boy just opened it up to me. Now maybe tonight you're sitting in your seat where you are now. Or maybe even listening to this somewhere across the globe. And maybe as we read the Word of God, that you heard the God who spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus, maybe even has spoken to you in these last few minutes. The same Apostle Paul, as he became known as later, writing later on, writing to the young man called Timothy, and I shared this with the folks in the missionary meeting a few months ago. And he was talking about Timothy, the young man of God, and he was encouraging Timothy to keep on keeping on. Don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Don't anybody put you off because maybe you think you don't fit the mold or something like that. No, he's saying, keep on. The words that you learned from your granny Lois and from your mommy, from you were a child, you keep and you hold on to those things. That's a very different man than the man who was standing there watching Stephen being martyred. The same man, but his life changed. And tonight your life can be changed dramatically. This may be your Damascus road tonight.
I'm having all the nonsense, Michael.
But you see, you're not trying to impress me by sitting there warming that bit of wood that you're sitting on. My father and mother came here for a lifetime. And I belong to this place. I'll be coming as long as I can. There's a wee church in Pakistan in a wee village called Babelpur. And on a Sunday morning, the door busted open, it burst open at the back. And the preacher was at the front, the pastor, but he wasn't up in the pulpit, he was just standing down at the front. He had the Word of God in his hand. And he was preaching from the Word of God. And the boy told him to throw the Word of God on the floor. Because it was a lie. And he said, no, this is the Word of God. I'll not be throwing any Word of God on the floor. The boy just lifted the gun that he had and he shot him straight through the heart. He and his friends burst in the other door and shot 14 of them. Shot them dead. That's about 5 years ago. Radical Muslims, yes. But you see, in Pakistan there are many, many people who go to church. You don't know Jesus, the reality of Jesus. And those men who come through the door with the guns, they would assume that those who were within the building would belong to Jesus, that would be Christians. And so they were fair game, so they just shot them. Now tonight, if somebody came in through that door, or this door here, and started firing, one of the bullets hit you, because the gunman thinks you're a Christian. And you were ushered into glory. Or he would assume that you're a Christian. Tonight, if it was you, would you be dying under false pretenses? Now, don't get angry with me. The Bible is very, very clear. Unless a man or a woman is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And tonight, if you're not born again, if you've not been to Calvary, there's no hope. I'm going to a funeral tomorrow afternoon. A young man, youngish man, and I've known him since the day he was born. And he's had cancer for a few years. And two of my brothers got cancer earlier on this year. And he knew about them. And he called round with me one night to tell me, or to ask me rather, about my brothers. He wanted to know. And while we were sitting there, he says, "Michael, you know, when we were in church," he says, "you know, I was one of them good lads, you know. I did all the this and this and this for them." But he said, "My wife was in the choir." But he says, "I was nowhere. Nowhere. And it's only when I realized that the illness that I've got could kill me, then I realized that I have to do something." And he told me about giving his life to Christ. You know, for someone like Raymond, as your pastor, as your minister, there's nothing quite like it. Hearing somebody saying, "Hey, can you tell me how I might give my life to Jesus? How I might get saved? How I might get rid of this sin that's holding me?" Wouldn't it be fantastic that on Friday night of this week, isn't it? Friday night is the testimony night. Wouldn't it be fantastic if one of you men tonight gave your life to Christ and came on Friday night and shared with the other men in the meeting, "Hey, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life last Sunday night." A wee buddy came to our church and he told us some stuff, but I heard God speaking. Wouldn't it be fantastic if that was the truth? What about it? Now, I left school at 15 years of age with nothing. The only thing I brought home was my school bag. And God has taken this clown to all ends of the earth. Because the day I said yes to Jesus, I said, "Lord, take me and use me. God willing, I'll go off to China in 3 weeks' time to teach and train new church leaders, pastors." I just think, my goodness, Lord God, what you can do and what you will do with a life that's surrendered to you. Amazing. Now tonight, I don't care if you're 6 or 60 or 9 or 90. God still has work for you to do. Are you up for it? Did you bring someone, a visitor with you to this meeting tonight? That's a question. Did you? Thank you. I was in a meeting in my own church this morning with George Verver there from Operation Mobilization. And George has been in ministry for a long, long time. And this morning he was very, very honest with us. And he told us of some of the struggles that he, as a major, major force as far as Christian work in this century, this last century has been, and this one. And he shared with us this morning some of his feelings. I'm not standing here tonight as someone who has got it all together, who has done it all. No. Because if you were reading my diary, you would know. But all I know is this, that we keep short accounts with God, that we confess, "Lord, look where I've just been, look what I've just done again. Lord, forgive me." So not only does God put us onto plan A and we fail, then we go into plan B and we fail, we go into plan C and we fail. As the boy this morning said, isn't it great to know that there's many other letters in the alphabet still to come through? Even you fail 2 dozen times. If you confess and come back, God will still use you. I said about going to China in 3 weeks' time, God willing. A few issues to be sorted before I can go there. But I was with you folks, and I'm not sure which month it was. At that stage, I was planning to go out with others to do some teaching of new leaders in China. But I have to tell you that the part of China where we'd been there this time last year and made the preparation, went and saw the locations where we could go and do the training and the teaching. But 3 months ago, we got word through from China to say that the special branch of the special police came into the church. And they visited every person who belonged to that church, however many hundred, scattered all over the place. They can't all meet in the one place like this here. And they warned them, don't you be going back to that church again, otherwise so and so will happen. Otherwise. You want to see your daughter educated, your son educated? Right, don't you be going back to that church. And so the church has been decimated, absolutely wrecked. And I wanted to go right away when I come back from the holidays in the month of July. I wanted to go right away to see what we could do to help. See, they told us that one of the leaders, a woman, one of the leaders, had gone off to join a cult. The Eastern Lightning cult, which is one of the worst. Look what you've been following. A lot of nonsense. Share your leaders away. But that's what they were doing. They were trying to discredit the leaders in the church. I don't know whether I can get to meet with these folks in 4 weeks' time or not. I don't know. But they're scattered all over the place. So there was no teaching, no training. See, persecution is a reality across many, many countries. And working in Release International as I do, this is the mission that was formed by Pastor Richard Wormbrand. The older folks among you may remember him. I heard him in Wellington Street, I don't know, 30-odd years ago. Shortly after I became a Christian. And the challenge of listening to this man and reading the book that he had written called Tortured for Christ. Maybe you saw that book in your time. Maybe you read it. And when I became a Christian, just after an older couple from the church took me under their wing, and the woman gave me the book, Tortured for Christ. And here was this man who was prepared to lay it all on the line for Christ. And a few years earlier, I was prepared to lay it all on the line for this piece of sod that we stand on. Didn't make sense to me why anyone should be prepared to die for the cause of Christ. You see, in some nations, that's what happens. When you say yes to Jesus, you're putting yourself right in the firing line with the authorities. And that's what God has called me into, to ministering to such as them. I wasn't able to bring magazines with me tonight because my car broke down this week and I was in Scotland. I realised that the keys of the car are in the office. The keys of the office are in the car, sorry, got that wrong. So I couldn't get into the office today to bring some magazines. I have 2 or 3 with me here. If you really want to know more about what we're doing, you can have one of these magazines to take with you. But tonight, folks, it's not so much about Release International. It's more about where you are in your walk with God. Whether you have taken those first faltering steps. One of the sad things is this, that people, as they get older, well, I'll not be changing now. I lived all these years, I'll not be changing none. That's what my granddad was like. Till he was on his deathbed. My granddad, who put his two sons out of the house, had to leave Kaibaki and go to America. Because I got saved. And all that other nonsense around here. Say yes to Jesus tonight. The Lord Jesus. The living Lord Jesus Christ. The one who knows our every weakness. You know that song we used to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. You see, tonight, if you're not saved, I doubt if God will even hear your prayer. That may be bad news to you. Talk to Raymond after the service. Talk to me. See you young folks over there. You make sure that you've given your life to Christ. When you go off to the university or wherever, to go off working or whatever you're going to do, and all kinds of stuff will come your way. Don't you be getting deviated. Don't you let anybody trail you away. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you're a God who cares for us, for our every detail. Lord God, you know the very secrets of our hearts. And still, Lord God, you love us. You continue to love us with a love that will never let us go. Father, we ask you tonight that by your Spirit, that you would continue to move amongst us, even after we've had finished this meeting. And beyond the cup of tea afterwards, Lord, we pray that you'll continue by your Spirit amongst us, speaking into hearts. We ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus, for his sake and for his glory. Amen. You know, because this talk is being streamed onto the internet, there's a lot of stuff I have not been able to share with you. There's so much more. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll be happy to do that. There's a long time between now and breakfast time in the morning. In other words, we've got the time. Raymond won't mind being out of his bed tonight to talk to you to midnight if he has to share Christ with you. All right, brother? Hallelujah. Today, if you've heard his voice, don't harden your heart one more minute. The God of mercy will take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now we're late, but I trust that you've heard from God tonight.
number 967. And again, please don't rush away. Come in to the back for a cup of tea. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. And we certainly know that Michael, in his journeys, could have told much, much more. Number 967, let's stand and sing. Thank you for what we've heard of what you've done in one man's life and how you're doing that over and over again in other people's lives, and may it happen in someone's life tonight. We thank you, O God, for your work, and we thank you for the work that is going on in the world. We thank you that the Word of God is being preached. As Jesus said, that the disciples were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we thank you that is still going on 2,000 years later. And so, Lord, challenge our hearts with these things tonight, we pray. Part is in your fear and with your blessing. Thank you for a cup of tea. Bless those who stay, those who go home. But, Lord, just as the seed has been sown, we pray it will bring forth fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.